IELTSCast, episode 27.
You're listening to IELTSCast, the podcast that puts you in touch with successful IELTS candidates from around the world. Listen and learn as they explain how they achieved band 7, 8 and even 9. Now, here's your host, Ryan.
Hello and welcome to IELTSCast. Today I am speaking with Alisher, an IELTS candidate from Öskemem, Kazakhstan. Alisher recently took the IELTS and scored an overall band of 7.5 with the individual scores of 8 in listening, 7.5 in reading, and band 7 in both writing and speaking. Alisher contacted me last week and we decided to set up an interview so he could explain a little bit about his approach to the examination and what sort of strategies he followed that allowed him to score so well. Hi Alisher, welcome to IELTSCast.
Hello, Ryan.
Alisher, why did you take the IELTS?
Well, actually, the main purpose why I took the IELTS exam was because it was one of the requirements of the university to which I'd like to be enrolled. So that was the main reason.
Okay, and which university is that?
Well, it is one in my country, mm-hmm. in the capital, in Astana.
Okay. Is that normal in Kazakhstan to have to take the IELTS to be able to enroll in a university there?
Okay. Well, honestly, it is the only university with English language. So it is quite popular among the students. So I decided to go there. That's why I took the IELTS.
Have you taken the IELTS before this attempt?
No, it was my first attempt, actually.
And did you score the overall band and the individual bands that you needed?
Yes, of course, because the minimum score required in my university was six.
Okay, so now, what is your experience in relationship to the English language? Did you grow up speaking English?
No, actually, we speak here in two main languages. They're Kazakh and Russian. So I started learning English in the primary school at the age of 6, mm-hmm. and I've been learning it for about 9 or 10 years or so.
I see. So Kazakh kids typically study three languages in primary school. That's your native language, Russian and English. Is that right?
No, it is Russian and Kazakh, okay? And English is like an extra language, okay?
When did you decide that you wanted to pursue English at university?
Well, actually, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I decided that I'd like to learn the English more deeply. Mm-hmm. So I started to work more hardly and taking part in different Olympiads mm-hmm. that are held here. Mm-hmm. And took the IELTS exam as well.
From the moment that you decided you were going to take the IELTS to the moment when you actually engaged the examination, how much time transpired?
Well, it took me about 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it was a really long time to prepare, but I had only 2 lessons per week with my tutor. Mm-hmm. It was about 3 hours per week.
What sort of exercises were you doing with your tutor?
I think that the main goal for two of us, for me and my tutor, was to learn as much vocabulary as we could. Mm-hmm. So that was the main point. We just made a list of different, starting from environments, social issues, maybe climate, and etc., mm-hmm. and learn them one by one during the entire 8 months period. And also we did a lot of writing exercises and speaking as well.
How many vocabulary mm-hmm. words on average were you learning every week?
Well, I think it depended on the topic that I was learning mm-hmm. because, we took approximately from 15 to 12 words for each topic, mm-hmm. So that I could actually use it in my active mm-hmm. English, in my writing and speaking. Mm-hmm. And I think it helped me a lot.
Where did the vocabulary come from?
Well, I think they were from those books that are written especially for IELTS mm-hmm. students, like Check Your Vocabulary for IELTS or something like that.
Okay.
Okay, so we took the vocabulary from there and tried to learn them mm-hmm. by heart, maybe.
How did you learn to use the words in context? So you know that it's one thing to learn what the words mean. It's an entirely different thing to learn how to use them properly and with grammatical accuracy in context. How did you ensure that you were learning the words in a way that you could go on to use them in your speaking and writing accurately?
Yes, I think it is a very, you know, widespread mistake or, you know, case for every student in the entire world because we actually learn it, but when we write in an essay or maybe when we do speaking, mm-hmm. we cannot use them properly. We cannot include them in our actually active English. Mm-hmm. So the approach that we made with my tutor, that was, we were constantly writing essays mm-hmm. and we were constantly speaking for about these topics mm-hmm. so that I couldn't forget them no longer.
I see, okay.
It was just a matter of repetition.
Okay, and were you documenting the words in a book or how were you keeping everything organized so that you could go back and review from time to time?
Yes, I just wrote them down in my notebook mm-hmm. and revised them time over time.
Were you doing practice exams from time to time?
I'm sorry, which kind of exams?
Maybe the mock exams, like those Cambridge past test papers?
Yes. I actually used the Cambridge 7, 8, and 9, and I think it was a really lot of help.
Okay.
Because the reading and listening, you know, the questions are quite similar to those, so it was really useful for me.
When you started using those mock exams, what sort of bands were you hitting?
Okay, well, to be honest, I had the most of my problems was listening because it wasn't more than 7, I guess, because it was always about 6, 6.5. But in reading, it was always higher than 7, I guess, 7.5 and 8.
As you get closer to the examination, did your study strategies change at all, or were they constant from beginning to end?
Well, I think that they were typical and very common for all students in the world. Like, well, in the listening, well, I think the main approach is to start looking to the questions of the sections 2, for example, mm-hmm. in the time when you're given some time to check your answers to section 1. Okay, it is really common, I think.
Okay, yes. Okay, great. And yes. You found this strategy worked well for you, right?
Yes, of course. It was really helpful for me mm-hmm. because if you have more time to look through the questions that you are going to hear right now, you have more chances to answer as much as possible.
Am I correct in assuming that as you got closer to the examination, you were focused more and more on exam room strategies?
Yes, I guess so, especially in reading and listening. Mm-hmm. Well, let me talk about the strategies that I use in my reading portion of IELTS. Mm-hmm. Well, it was mainly just to finish all my quiz in time, okay? It's a matter of time that really was really a problem for me mm-hmm. because it is really hard to answer all 40 questions in only an hour. So I tried to finish each passage in 20 minutes mm-hmm. and I didn't answer on that paper that I was given with the passages. Mm-hmm. I wrote them right strictly to the answer sheet, you know?
Okay, I see.
So just not to waste my time.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the exam, about the different sections, and let's start a bit of a discussion on your personal experience in the exam room.
Okay, well, I had my speaking exam one day before the main test. Mm-hmm. So I think that the main problem that I encountered was my nerves. I felt really nervous at it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't concentrate just rightly on my answers. Mm-hmm. But I think the examiner was really kind. It was a man. Mm-hmm. He had a very clear pronunciation, so I could understand all the questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the topics were very, you know, just common. Mm-hmm. It was about some program in part two. And in part three, we were discussing the advertisements in the modern world.
And your examiner, where was he from?
I think he's from Kazakhstan because he had an Asian appearance.
Did your nerves get better as the exam went on?
No, I think in the part two, I felt quite better. Mm-hmm. And I tried to speak at length in the part two. I tried to speak as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And in part three, it was really, you know, quite good atmosphere mm-hmm. to discuss the topic with the examiner. Mm-hmm. And and finally, I felt really comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Now, Alistair, I want to talk to you about nerves and what your opinion is regarding nerves and how they can affect a student's mark on the IELTS. Do you think that your nerves, your anxiety, your nervousness in part one, do you think that affected your mark at all?
Yeah, I think it really influenced my overall speaking band because, you know, in the part one, I expected that kind of questions like about my hobbies or my school or my city, but the examiner asked me about the history. And I was really shocked when I heard it, and I started to feel really nervous. Mm-hmm. And that's why I couldn't answer all the questions properly. Mm-hmm. I think it was a really big problem for me.
Okay.
At that time.
Do you think it affected your ability to answer with grammatical accuracy?
Maybe not grammar, but vocabulary. Okay, I couldn't include all of these words that I've learned in my speaking.
Yeah. Okay. I see. So it was hard for you to find words to put into your answer, to find accurate words for your answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Correct.
Now tell me a little bit about. You said that the examiner started by talking about history, which is something that I agree with you. I mean, I haven't heard too many students report those sorts of topics in part one. What sort of questions was the examiner asking you?
Well, it was. Do you like history? It was what kind of historical films do you watch? Do you think it's important to learn about history?
Okay.
And like this, question like that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that is definitely different. I mean, it sounds almost like those would be the kind of questions you'd be asked in part three. But
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I didn't expect all that question at all. In addition, I don't like history at all, so it was really difficult.
Oh, no.
To answer.
Oh, no. So right away, you're already trying to make up things and to try to tie answers together. And
Yeah. I said that it is really important to learn history and science and things like that.
Yeah. Okay, I can understand. Now, let's talk about part two. So you're given a cue card. Was the topic on the cue card related to history at all?
It was about TV program. And I started making up the TV programs that I actually have never watched.
Okay.
It was about the sports program that I watched, mm-hmm. and I started to include some stars mm-hmm. that I really like from the tennis. Mm-hmm. So I think it was quite good. Mm-hmm. I could speak at length mm-hmm. and not making a lot of grammatical inaccuracies.
How do you think the confidence that you experienced in that part two is linked to the way that you prepared for that part of the examination? So my question is, were you doing much training to speak at length in your preparation for the examination?
Okay, well, initially I had a lot of problems with speaking at length because it is a really problem for me just to speak. I couldn't just think about what I'm gonna say,
yep.
what I'm gonna talk about, particularly this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So after some time, I realized that the confidence really matters. So I tried to make as much practice as I could just to succeed. I think that the most, you know, the best approach for me was just to listen, mm-hmm. And that could help in speaking, actually, because I was listening to a lot of IELTS teachers on the internet, like you and other teachers. So when you're actually listening to this kind of native speakers, you can imitate them, and then it will help you with your pronunciation a lot in your actual exam.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Very good advice. Okay. So you were really focusing on the way that people were saying things, the way that they were linking their ideas together, and then you were trying to replicate that in your own speaking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's very good advice. And I think a lot of students, they forget how important it is to listen and the critical role that listening plays in enhancing your ability to speak. So it's very good that you're reminding everyone of that, to do lots of listening, lots of repetition, lots of trying to mimic what you hear. All of these things will help you to improve your speaking. Okay, so Alistair, let's move on to one of the other sections. We've talked about speaking, which involves you communicating a message to your examiner, and at times there's a discussion back and forth. In the same way, the writing exam is also a test of the student's ability to communicate a message to the exam through written English. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience in the exam, what sort of questions you faced, and how you responded to those questions?
Okay. Well, in my writing exam, I had the topic of the elderly in the writing too. It was about the services that are being made for the elderly.
Okay.
And in part one, it was usual the bar graph. As I remember, it was about the proportion of population living in rural and urban areas of some megapolises. Well, to be honest, the strategy that I use always is to start writing the writing to task firstly.
Okay.
And only afterwards I continue writing the writing task one. I think it is really helpful because, you know, writing task two carries twice as much points as writing task one, I guess. So it is more important to write the writing task two properly, and only then I can move on to the part to the task one.
How long did you spend on the task two?
Well, it took me exactly 40 minutes to finish my writing task two.
Okay, so
minutes and minutes.
Wow, okay, that's great. So break that down for us. Now, how much time did you spend preparing? How much time did you spend actually writing? And how much time did you spend reviewing?
Okay, as I mentioned before, I had my classes twice a week. So I was writing approximately one or two essays per week for 8 months. Mm-hmm. So eventually I got about 40 or 50 essays in my notebook.
Wow, great.
Okay, well, we were doing like that with my tutor. We took, for example, writing tasks to me to write at home. And the goal of mine was to actually include all that vocabulary in my writing. And then my tutor would check that essays and say what score I approximately had.
Okay. So, and did you find that in your practice essays you were scoring about band 7, or did it fluctuate a little bit?
Well, it was constantly at a score 6.5 for a very long period of time. Mm-hmm. But then I tried to maybe to change the structure a little bit, mm-hmm. and finally I could get a band of 7.
Okay, great. And it sounds like your tutor was very knowledgeable about the manner in which the essay is marked, because his mark, the mark that he was giving you, is pretty much bang on what you received when you took the actual exam.
Yes, I think so too. You actually have to write it in a formal style, and also one approach is, it's not approach, okay, it's like a requirement of every task, to answer the questions exactly what is being asked from you.
I know, I just want to amplify what you said there, because it's so true. So many students, they don't stick precisely with what the question is asking, and that's a very detrimental mistake.
Yes, I agree with it totally, because It is important to answer if you're asked to agree or disagree. You have to agree or disagree, not to discuss or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. You have to answer coherently and exactly to the point.
Mm-hmm. Last two sections, listening, you scored band 8, and reading, you scored band 7.5. So what can you tell us about these exams? What sort of subjects, what sort of topics did you see in the exam room?
I firstly looked through the questions of any passage and underlined the key words of the questions, and only that I move on to reading, to actually reading the passage. And while I'm reading, I try to answer the questions one by one. That's it.
Now, when you say that you actually read the passage, do you mean that you read every single sentence and then went to the questions?
Yes, I don't use any skimming, you know, scanning or something like that. I read the entire passage from very beginning to the end.
You're a rarity uh-huh. because candidates don't tell me that often. They usually say that they skim through the sentences, try to find the answers, and go about it that way. But you found that you were able to read through the entire passage, then go to the questions and one by one answer them. How long did it take you to finish the reading exam?
Well, it took me 59 minutes to finish my reading exam.
Okay. Did you have any time to review?
Actually, while I'm doing my reading portion, I don't review at all.
Why don't you tell us a bit about the listening exam and your experience with it?
Okay. Well, as I mentioned before, I had most of my problems with listening parts. I would score 6 for a very long period of time and no more than that. But then I started doing some exercises from Cambridge, from the past papers. Mm-hmm. And I think they were really helpful for me. And I managed to increase my bands by doing as much practice as I could, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Alisher, we're coming to the end of the interview, and I'm trying to think of a good way that we can close this interview. I think that the tips that you've shared, particularly about dealing with anxiety, which I think is a much more major problem than a lot of people give it credit for, because when you're anxious, you are much more likely to make mistakes. When you're anxious, you're much more likely to speak quickly and to make grammatical errors that you wouldn't normally make. So could you suggest some strategies for people that maybe experience the same thing you do, which is, you know, you feel a little bit nervous when you first get to the examination? How did you overcome your nervousness, and how can other people do the same?
Okay, I think the main advice that I can give to the students from the entire world is just to relax. You just have to feel relaxed and concentrated on what you're speaking, what you're writing, and what you're reading. Just maybe take a deep breath and try to pay your attention to the way you're speaking. Try not to be nervous. Try to relax. You have to just understand that it is just one of the many exams that you have in your life. And just to calm down a little bit and continue to give some good performance from yourself.
Another thing I'll point out is that I think students that are like you and prepare very thoroughly, so you've taken the exam time and time and time again, then when they get into the examination room, there's nothing alien about it. They just are very... They're in a natural place. They've been in this natural place before. They've done many exams just like this one before. So I think that if you do enough practice and if you do enough practice under exam-like conditions, then you can train yourself to feel maybe a little bit more at ease, a little bit more at home, and a little bit more relaxed when you're in the exam itself. Alisher, I want to thank you for joining me on the show today and for sharing the wonderful advice. And congratulations on your band 7.5.
Thank you again. I'm really pleased that I had the interview with you, and I wish all the IELTS students luck with their IELTS exams.
Thank you for downloading from IELTS.com. Have you achieved an overall band of 7 or higher on the IELTS exam? Why not contribute to the podcast? contact Ryan at his blog, IELTSIELTS.com.